No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, it's very nice to have you back on the show. It's been a hot minute because we've had public holidays and our new alternating segment, A Room of One's Own, talking about the sort of landlord crisis we're having as well. But we're back on union politics today, and a belatedly happy May Day to you.
Belatedly happy May Day to you. Yeah, landlords and bosses, the two big bads.
The two big bads. Well, let's jump into some of these questions that have been sent in by the BFM listeners. If anyone is listening and they have a frantic, urgent thing, text it through to 53395. We'll try our best to get round to it. Somebody has said, I've told my boss I can only earn $250 a week because of the student allowance. They keep demanding I work more than this. What should I do?
If you're on a casual contract, which I'm assuming this person is, any work is by agreement. So you're entitled to decline work, which is, it seems, hopefully what you're doing and should continue to do. I think the best thing for someone in your situation is to have to ask to actually put it in the contract that you're only working a certain amount of hours, so you're not put in the situation where you need to, where you feel pressured, where you've got that sort of contract there to fall back on. But I know that's sort of easier said than done. So I would say, best case scenario, getting your hours in a contract so your boss and you understand what your hours are and that you're not, you know, expected to work over that. And then, not quite best case scenario, if you are a casual, just feel sort of confident in the fact that you absolutely are entitled to the client shifts. That it's supposed to be by agreement and no one should be making you feel pressured, and you just need to keep saying no and stand your ground, to be honest.
If this, because this is, I guess, something that a lot of people who've worked in that kind of precarious realm of hospitality and casual shift work in hospitality as well have felt before. Like, if you don't say yes to a shift, what if they, you know, don't give you as many or whatever? If you're feeling like that is a bit of a context for you in your workplace, what's a good way to handle that?
It's a really, I think that's a structural issue with precarious work that we need to address by unionising, I've just got to be honest, because I don't think, because we're in a disempowered, workers are disempowered in a disempowered situation, where if you're on a casual contract, you know, your employer can do that, right? And you have very little recourse. And I think the thing to do is to use your, like, your collective leverage and sort of say, like, actually, we want to work out how our, what hours we're doing at the, you know, at the beginning of the year or whatever, and this is what our expectation is, and like, we're casuals and we might work over that, but, you know, like, set it out collectively. So I always think the best option is to work together with your co-workers, especially when you're in a bit of a, you know, structurally kind of precarious situation. And if you sort of, if you guys are working together and kind of coming to your boss with those expectations and making it clear, at least, you know, he can replace one worker, but can he replace all of you? Like, if you're working, you know what I mean? That's
exactly
the power, right?
That is the power.
I'm not sure that that's a great answer. The real answer is we are disempowered through the law, but you have to come together to empower ourselves.
Exactly. Okay, we've got one that kind of segues off that quite nicely. Someone said, my old boss in hospo never officially fired me, but instead just stopped sending me the roster. I know this happens quite a bit because the same thing has happened to some of my friends. Is there anything we can actually do about this? I hate it.
Yeah, it's fucking bullshit. To be honest. So I'd have to sort of do a little bit more details, but I'm assuming this person is also a casual. And so this is sort of the way things work in hospital because of how precarious the employment relationship is, right? Where you don't even properly get fired. You just sort of are on the, you know, never hear back from your work. But technically you're still on even the books, maybe. What can happen is you actually could potentially, I mean, like, honestly, this person might have a little bit of legal recourse. Like, I don't want to say too much because I haven't seen the contract. But if you've been consistently working, say you work 10 hours a week at a restaurant, or, you know, alternating 10 to 15, because most people do kind of work, no one's a real casual. I don't think many people are real casuals, where you work like 1 hour one week and then 20 hours the next week and then 2 hours. And, you know, like, no, like, most people have a schedule that they keep to because we're human beings. And so in the law, that might come down to what we call custom and practice. So if you've been working, you know, sort of have it, had a work schedule for quite a long time, and your boss suddenly just stops sending you hours, you might have a personal grievance, which means that you possibly can get some compensation for suddenly, you know, not being given any hours. So if you're a union member, I tell you to go talk to your union about it. But even if you're not, you know, you potentially could do it. You could talk to Citizens Advice Bureau. But this is something unions can really help with, because we want to make sure that things like this don't happen. And the way we can do this is taking it to mediation and telling the boss where to stick it, basically.
Yeah. I think we all know someone who that's happened to. I can think of like two people off the top of my head that I know who've had that experience.
It's happened to me.
Yeah, it's pretty rubbish when it does happen. We've got a text from someone who said, can people fire you for mental illnesses? I went through a time of having lots of panic attacks at work and they let me go and I still feel weird about it.
So this is a little bit of, that sounds like a really difficult situation, and I'm really sorry you went through that to the person texting in. You know, this is actually something that I think is really shitty about New Zealand law, I'm just going to be honest. So I just want to quote, you know, something from our government sort of advice, which is that the law does not require that an employer is to keep in employment an employee who is unable to fulfill their role due to illness or injury or not able to do their work. And so under the law, an employer is entitled to medically terminate a worker.
Wow.
If they're not able to do their, if they're unable to do their job. So, it's funny because we talk a lot about how, you know, we shouldn't, you know, discrimination on the grounds of illness or mental illness or physical illness, but these things happen all the time in our workplaces, and that is, you know, and so that's the law, and it's a really, and I think a really shitty part of the law, because there's not a lot of protections. You know, they need to follow a proper process, and they do need to kind of, there are some provisions, and it sounds like, you know, to make sure that you feel respected and that you have some input. And I'm not sure what process this person went through, but again, I would say that this is something that the union can definitely help you with. And it is something that we also need to raise, as like, actually, you know, there needs to be more protections available to people, you know, because right now that's all there is, really, is that they can let you go for an illness. And it's a shitty part of the law.
That's not a good bit of law at all. But I hope that's helped some people out there, at least given them some direction to go and find some more resources, or at least talk to your colleagues as well, is always a really good place to start. If you feel like you're having a stink time, they're probably also feeling like maybe they're having a stink time on some of those tricky bits as well. So thank you very much, Justine. It's always great to have you on the show.
Kia ora. Have a good one.
You too. We'll talk to you in the fortnight. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you.